Hello everyone and welcome to another video here on the Cycling Dane channel. Today we are going to be doing another ranking video and this is going to be of the 2022 team's performances at the Giro d'Italia. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Craig himself, Ewan Wilson, and I'm also delighted to be joined by Yorkshireman Jack Bennett. Great to have you both here. And yeah, Ewan, what are these ranking videos all about?
Well, if you haven't tuned into a Cycling Dane tier list before, let me introduce you to the concept. Essentially, we're going to be passing through each of the teams at this year's Giro d'Italia, ranking them in one of these five categories. Beginning with legendary, this is reserved for the teams that really hit the marker here at this year's Giro d'Italia, achieving more than they would have expected, or they really got their goals to an absolute T. Then we have high achievers, then down to satisfied, moving down into the negative category, room for improvement, and the bottom tier that nobody wants to be in, but I'm sure we're going to have some people in it. Were they even here? Yes, these are the teams that were anonymous during this Giro. We were sometimes forgetting that they were even in the peloton on some of the stages of this year's Corsa Rosa. So a lot of teams to talk through here after what was an interesting Giro d'Italia.
So yeah, our first team with mixing up the teams is Movistar. And well, if you're thinking Movistar, what did they actually do? Alejandro Valverde, 11th place. They got two top threes and six top tens, no wins. And gentlemen, where do you think Movistar's performance in this year's Giro d'Italia warrants them to be?
Room for improvement, maybe.
Yeah, Ivan Sosa, what was he doing?
Yeah, Ivan Sosa was dead on arrival, it seemed. Just shedding time. But Movistar really did nothing. I think, yeah, Valverde looked okay. 11th place in GC is solid. But, I mean, in terms of their TV time, fair play to Antonio Pedrero. I think
exactly.
He's the only guy who really got on screen during this Giro d'Italia. But, yeah, what a fall from grace.
I think we all agree with that one then. And next team, UAE Team Emirates, of course, friend of the channel, Joao Almeida. It looked like he was set for potentially a third place finish and definitely going to be winning the white jersey. Unfortunately, COVID got the best of him. And they also took the win with Kobe on stage 20. So, gentlemen, where does that warrant UAE Team Emirates? It kind of saved by that Kobe victory. In some sense, and the Chima copy, of course, as well.
Well, if Almeida didn't get COVID, then you would probably expect a satisfied podium.
Yeah.
And of course, a white jersey, but that didn't happen, obviously. It's in between room for improvement and maybe satisfied. There's some satisfaction, but I feel like they weren't even there as much as they should have been. You would expect more from this team, wouldn't you, really?
Seven top threes, courtesy of some of them from Fernando Gaviria, of course, who didn't take a win. 17 top tens. So, yeah, but only that one stage victory. Ewan, do you think this is enough for satisfied?
Yeah, I think it is. I think other teams would be jealous of this. It's always difficult because Almeida got COVID. But in terms of, I mean, they still got a stage win. They were still up there on many stages. Almeida was held the white jersey for a period. They can't really complain.
One team that probably are going to be complaining over their performance, AG2R Citroën is our next team.
No, come on. They didn't come here with a great team. Tour de France, they're going to have Ben O'Connor, Benoît Cosnefroid, all the guns. Maybe even Hakan Avermaet. But for this Giro, they didn't really come with a star. They had, what, Félix Gallas, their leader. What they do? Are we expecting a podium place? No. They came here to go in breakaways. They came in breakaways. They didn't do particularly well in the breakaways. I mean, Vendrame got a couple top tens, was in the breakaway. And Nicolas Podom really shone, but is that enough? Somebody else have the call on this one. I just think in terms of the actual team strength, what else would you expect?
Yeah, as many top 10s as Astana, which we're going to talk later on about, six top 10s, but no top threes, no victories as well either. Pro Cycling Stats have actually put them as the second lowest team in their own ranking, so quite dire there. But Jack, where would you want to put AG2R Citroën?
Well, yeah, down at the bottom. There might have been that one stage where they might have probably got a win, but it obviously didn't happen. They just cracked in the under pressure, and yeah, it just wasn't meant to be. And it's pretty sad to see them down at the bottom, isn't it, on Pro Cycling Stats, a World Tour team at this level that could probably have done better. But yeah, were they even here? Say, really, yeah, I
Yeah,
would say.
that's true. Considering their budget, and but it's true what Ewan said. They haven't really brought any world beaters. But anyway, a team that did bring a world beater, well, of yesteryear, Jumbo-Visma, the next team. Tom Dumoulin, Ewan. I'm going to let you talk about Jumbo-Visma on this front.
Yeah, but Visma came to this race with well, Tobias Foss and Tom Dumoulin, neither of which were particularly sharp. But I think most of this, the things to celebrate here, courtesy of Koen Bouwman, two stage wins, Amalia Adzura, and a really strong Giro d'Italia from the youngster Gees Leemreize. I'd say this is high achievers, two stage wins, and a blue jersey for a team that weren't necessarily targeting this race. We had no idea how Dumoulin was going to go, but the team rode excellently on that day into Potenza. I think this is a really solid race from Jumbo-Visma.
I agree, because getting the climber's jersey, I mean, it was pretty much set in stone, wasn't it, long before the race was even done, because their man was pretty much over 100 points ahead, so they were having a solid go at that, didn't they? So it was to be expected, but I would say high achievers. Sad thing, obviously, for Tom Dumoulin not carrying on, because they probably would have hoped he might have got a top 10, but that wasn't meant to be.
He didn't
Still,
look great, and
it didn't
Tobias
look great,
Foss
no.
either. He did somewhat get a consolation prize, Tobias Foss, at the final time trial, but it's not going to be a Giro that he's going to be remembering. But yeah, two stage wins and the Maglia Azzurra for the first time. Can't be too unhappy about that. Anyway, next team, Groupama FDJ. They have been ranked as the highest team on Pro Cycling Stats. Three wins courtesy of Arnaud Démare, five top threes and nine top tens, and of course also winning the points classification for the first time. Well, for the first time since winning it last time with Arnaud Démare in 2020. Is this legendary, or are we going to put them as high achievers on this front? Attila Valter didn't really live up to the hype of being the poster boy for the Grand Partenza, but other than that, could they have expected more here?
I would have probably expected a better position in GC, or what they have possibly, just a little bit better, not where they were, because best position they got was 35th after all. But yeah, three wins, it's great, but you would probably expect that from Arnaud Démare, at
Would
very
you?
least three
Cavendish
wins.
was in this race.
He's in decent form, but obviously that was clear that it wasn't in great form at all, really, as you might have thought. But I was expecting Démare to just get three stage wins and possibly get the points classification. It was just set in stone, I think, for him. But yeah, I would say high achievers, personally. But you and Matt disagree with me? After all, you love this team.
Think it's hard when you have a team that's like this, where they dominate one particular discipline. I mean, if we put Jumbo there because they dominated the mountain breakaways, I feel like Groupama for dominating the sprints as well. In terms of just a team making a couple of blunders, I just don't think Valter had the legs to win a mountain stage. But in terms of a team, they made the miscalculation on stage 18 in Treviso, the stage won by Dainese and Reggio Emilia as well. I just think they miscalculated that sprint. But I don't know. I'm pretty torn between high achievers or legendary. They got what they came for. He got three stages. Arnaud Démare's now the most successful Frenchman in terms of Giro stage wins.
Yeah, it's a conflicting one. I just don't. Well, we can change it if we want later on. But yeah, next, moving on to Iolo Cometa, and of course the Contador and Ivan Basso led team. Of course, they didn't achieve the same heights as they had last year with winning the Monte-Sonkalan stage, which was absolutely incredible. But Ewan, I'll go to you here. Did the Burger King sponsored team live up to your expectations this year?
I think it was strange for Eolo Cometa. They almost rode this Giro as if they were a World Tour team at some points. They kind of had this aura of we're better than Dronehopper and Bardiani, probably because they won the stage last year and they got within the top 20 of GC. This year, it was like that. They didn't go into the breakaway an awful lot. Yes, they sent what Sam Wedderivi up the road a couple of times and Mirko Maestri, but they weren't really up there in the breakaways as much as I'd hope. Fortunato wasn't really going and fighting for the mountain breakaways. Yes, they got 15th place in GC. Albanese had a couple of really solid top tens. I just would have really wanted Aiolo to really hunt a stage win. They didn't get anywhere near one. Albanese was third place in Jesi. That was the closest. They could have done more. But at the same time, Fortunato did come 15th. That's a good result for him. But at the same time, I said in the Giro preview that he might make top 10.
Diego Rosa in the blue jersey, of course, six
True.
days, but
Yeah, but
ultimately
he
not
didn't win
getting
it.
it, so it doesn't really count for anything. Room for
Yeah.
improvement.
I would, yeah. Because
Yeah.
it's not like they were just hiding doing nothing. It's like they were there at some points, and they were in your face, and you felt like, oh, this is interesting. But I wouldn't say satisfied because they didn't achieve much and even get a stage win this
Yeah,
season. So.
I kind of like what Ewan said, that they thought themselves as more of a world tour team and didn't really.
I
Yeah.
agree with that statement.
But like Erik Vetter, he wasn't there. He didn't, no breakaways in the Hungarian stages, of course. So yeah, moving on to one of the stories of the Giro d'Italia, wearing the jersey more than the eventual winner, and his Trek Segafredo. They took a victory with Giulia Ciccone, of course, and Juan Pedro Lopez also had 10 days in the Maglia Rosa. They had 13 days in the white jersey as well. Of course, he eventually won it. Juan Pedro Lopez, courtesy of João Almeida not being there. Six top three positions and 17 top tens. Is this a good Trek Segafredo Giro d'Italia for you?
It is. I mean, Juan Pe rode well, top 10 white jersey. They had a long streak in the pink jersey. Ciccone won the stage to Konya. This is easily high achievers. Trek Segafredo cannot complain. It was a really solid race for them. And yeah, it's missing that kind of edge to maybe make it into legendary. If they took a stage win with Bauke Mollema, I would then put it in legendary. But they rode really well, they rode really strongly. They rode as a good unit to protect Juan Pe in pink as well.
I agree.
Well, that's quick then. Cofidis, and of course, there's one right away that's going to stand out here. Guillaume Martin, 14th in GC, jumping up and down like a yo-yo in the GC order. And of course, they got one top three position. They also got 13 top tens. But Cofidis, 15th down on the Pro Cycling Stats ranking. Is this going to be one? Well, I'm thinking room for improvement here.
Well, I don't think anybody has frustrated me more in this Giro d'Italia than Guillaume Martin himself. The buckarooing of entering top 10 and dropping out of top 10, it's frustrating. He attacks in almost idiotic positions. I don't know how this man graduated with a master's in philosophy because he doesn't think particularly hard or particularly thoroughly about the places he attacks. Oh, look, Bahrain comes to fore and the pace is high. What does Guillaume Martin do? Attack. Because what? Lorenzo Fortunato is out the back. Huh? But Cofidis as well. Okay, look outside Guillaume Martin. Where were they in the mountains? Bear in mind they have Anthony Perez, Pierre-Loup Perrichon, Rémy Rochas, David Villela. That's a good mountain team. That's a good solid unit. Villela was in the breakaway at Potenza, but didn't light things up. This should have been a really solid Cofidis roster. They should have gone in the breakaway more with a rider that wasn't Guillaume Martin. They were frustrating. And I have a feeling they're going to be frustrating once again at the Tour de France. And Guillaume Martin is not going to make top 10 once again.
Guillaume Martin, Ewan's a bit sunburnt, so he still would like to interview at you at some point. But anyway, moving on to the team that ended a drought that had lasted since 2018. Quickstep Alpha Vinyl taking a stage win on stage three with Mark Cavendish, of course, but not really getting anything more than that. Quickstep Alpha Vinyl, Ewan, where do you think they should be here? The Belgian outfit.
Satisfied. They got a stage win. That's it. Cavendish was actually quite lackluster, I'd say. There are many stages I noticed he just stopped sprinting when he realized he couldn't win, which is kind of strange. Mauro Schmidt was actually really strong. Maudy van Zevenaert, similarly frustrating rider to watch.
Very, yeah, Guillaume Martin.
I mean, the list goes on.
Wanted the
Just
team
wait
of coffee.
until Schmismel later on. And I mean, I don't know. This wasn't vintage Quickstep, but they haven't really been vintage Quickstep at the Giro for a couple of years.
Jack, you agree with this? Cavendish, were you expecting more from him?
Not really. I mean, he's probably going at that point now where it's probably time for him to slow down and retire.
Well, we've said this
You know,
before, and then he
yeah.
destroyed the tour last year.
But with the team that they had in this Giro, what else would you expect? You would obviously just expect us maybe one or two stage wins, and they've got that. So, you know, satisfied. Simple as.
Yeah.
Done.
Moving
Next.
on. Bardiani CSF. Were they even here?
Davide Gaburo was here. Anybody else in the team? No. Honestly, where were they? We had what, Tonelli in the breakaway as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, the highest placed rider is Luca Covoli, who is in 24th place in the GC. They didn't even contest the Fuga prize. They finished seventh in that with Gaburo himself. I think a worthy even here. Bardiani are one of the more successful continental teams or the invitee teams that comes to this race. I remember the days when Nicolas Boehm would win a stage, Enrico Gasparotto, even Giulio Ciccone. But this year, nothing. Zilch. I must say they actually have more stage top fives than Israel Premier Tech. Although.
Zing, first zing count if we had that on Israel Premier Tech. We haven't even got to them yet.
Oh, I can't wait for that bit. I got many to say as well. Not to mention that Ewan's going to have a massive rant again about them, no doubt.
Well, we might as well move on. Bariani CSF, sorry. I don't think you deserve any more attention. Ineos Grenadiers, of course, the defending champions. They've been formidable at the Giro d'Italia in the last few years, getting second place with Richard Carapaz. Of course, having 6 days in the Maglia Rosa, no stage wins, 4 top 3s, 16 top 10s. And so anyways, Jack, do you think Ineos Grenadiers, where would they be in terms of their Giro d'Italia this year?
Well, if I was the team managers, they would have probably said that's not good enough. We need to be winning this. But I would say that it's in between room for improvement and satisfied, because they did ride a good Giro this year, but they definitely could have done better, especially that proved in the final days of the Giro when Carapaz cracked. And that, I was expecting that personally. I remember seeing that. I couldn't believe it, but it happened and it cost them the Giro. So it's in between them two. Well, maybe I would say room for improvement, because the team as a whole, where were they in helping Carapaz most of the time?
That's not fair. I think they were quite good. They were a good team. Sivakov, Port, they had that one stage where they were a bit lackluster, but
like they were better as a team in 2020. That's for sure. And 2021, they were a solid team and they really did sacrifice a lot to help Ter Gegenhardt and as well as Egan Bernal win.
I just think Bora is stronger. But Ewan, we'll let you have the casting vote. Where do you think Ineos Grenadiers should be?
I think room for improvement might be a bit harsh. If I recall back at the Tour de France, we put Ineos in satisfied when they similarly didn't take the win and didn't get a stage win. But I mean, second place, they wore the jersey. But the fact they didn't get a stage win, I think, is also a bit... I mean, that's not great for them. Exactly. But we did have a lot of really solid rides. I think Pavel Sivakov was fantastic. I think Ben Tullett was really, really strong as well in the race. Yeah, to be honest, I'm torn between satisfied and high achievers, because, I mean, a podium
high
is...
High achievers? No.
Fine. Satisfied. Let's go. Let's move on. Yeah.
Okay, satisfied. Let's go on.
EF Education Easy Post. Hugh Carthy, of course, just managing to claw in and get a 9th place. They will, of course, take a top 3 as well and 8 top 10s, but no wins. And of course, they've been a bit lackluster, EF Education. Magnus Kort-Nielsen not firing on all cylinders, neither Hugh Carthy, but he was definitely visible. So quick one here. Where do you guys think? Room for improvement? Satisfied?
Well, satisfied? No, I would not. That's going a bit too far, I think.
Top 10? That's not a bad result.
A top 10, but also no stage wins and maybe room for improvement then, really.
Ewan, yeah. EF Education fan?
Room for improvement. It all went downhill when they released a lackluster alternative kit.
But now we come to the star of this video, we almost must say, Israel Premier Tech. And if you're concerned with the rankings and pro cycling stats, they have given them the 3rd lowest. Of course, they did spend one day in the Maglia Azzurra. They took 1 top 3, a finish, and 3 top 10s. Nothing like their 2021 Giro d'Italia, which was actually really good. So, we might as well. Ewan, Israel Premier Tech.
If you haven't watched one of these videos before, welcome. Buckle in. Israel Premier Tech in this Giro d'Italia have been nothing short of woeful, to be honest. They brought in a guy, Giacomo Nizzolo, who won a stage last year, was getting top 5s on last year's Giro. He's won the Maglia Rossa, as it was called back then, the red points jersey on 2 occasions in 2015 and 2016. He is a guy you'd expect to do very well in sprints. His team rode as if they were hollow-skulled at points. They were doing nothing. They would appear on the front with 20K to go, do a lot of work then, and then would disappear before the sprint comes. Rick Zabel, for instance, would just dash off and do his own thing. He wouldn't even be there to help Nizzolo in the sprint. That's the reason you're here at the Giro, is to lead him out. I never saw Rick Zabel lead out Nizzolo for a sprint, for instance. And even on the stage into Cuneo, when it was Israel Premier Tech who really charged down to bring the breakaway back, they really invested in that stage. Where do they come? Outside the top 10. Reggio Emilia stage. Nizzolo outside the top 10. Nizzolo shouldn't be coming outside the top 10 on sprint stages, especially when His team are invested and working towards him doing well. We've seen him ride with squads that aren't necessarily focused and built around him, and he gets results. Why, when the team works for him like this, or they try to work like this for him, do they fail? Looking outside Nettola, Demarchi, a couple of breaks, okay. He was in his home region and he didn't go in a break. He got a pink jersey last year, went in breaks. This year, nothing, zilch. Alex Catterford, who? Jente Biedemans, didn't see him in the breakaway. Matthias Brändler. These are all guys who should be, they have World Tour contracts. They're at a Grand Tour. This is probably the second biggest bike race you can find in the world. And they're not there. They're not treating the stage well. They don't deserve to be in the World Tour. I hope they get relegated. I hope they're going down in 2022. And honestly, Israel Premier Turk should look themselves in the mirror if it doesn't smash in response.
Yeah, well, put them bottom. But anyways, cautious of time as well. Bora Hansgrohe, their team, one of their teams of the year, of course, in terms of the Giro d'Italia, winning the Giro d'Italia with Jared Hindley and taking two stage victories, of course, along the way, the Blockhouse stage, and of course, Mount Etna with Lennart Kemna. But one day in the Maglia Rossa, of course, 3 days in the Maglia Azzurra, and five top threes, 21 top tens. I'm just going to say legendary. Yeah. Don't really need too much discussion there, I think.
Really, yeah. I mean, what can you say? It's been an absolute amazing Giro for them. So, yeah, let's leave it at that. Legendary.
Two top tens as well in terms of GC. Yeah. So, anyways, next coming to the team masquerading as a World Tour team, but our Pro Continental team. And Ewan, how did Alpes in Phoenix do at this year's Giro d'Italia?
Well, they took three stages with Mattia van der Poel, Stefano Aldani up in Genoa, then to round it all off, Dries de Bont won in Treviso on stage 18. I think they hit every goal they wanted to achieve. They got the jersey, they got multiple stage wins in different scenarios. I think in terms of like a wider sort of aspect, Alpes and Fenix proved that they can be a team that's bigger than just Mattia van der Poel, Jasper Philipsen, and also Tim Merlier. And they did that here at the Giro. And I would say it's legendary, to be honest.
I would say so. It was almost a bit of a high achievers, but thinking about it a bit more, I would say legendary. They have, like, they were a different team. Like, you would expect Mattia van der Poel to get a stage win once, at least, maybe twice, like he did. But he has been quite high achiever, especially in the time trial. He seems to have just...
Yeah, exactly. I think
he just seems to
point.
Have, like, transformed himself. Some people probably didn't like some people thought he fluked the Tour de France time trial when he came fifth. But I believe he actually has been practicing, because he got second in that Budapest time trial, beating what I thought was a favourite for that stage, Tom Dumoulin. Like, the stage was his name written all over it. It was clear. But no, he beat him. Beat his own man. But of course, he didn't win it. But still, it was fantastic. And he came third in the final time trial. So... it's just a different team this year. And
so, anyways, next to a team that many people probably didn't actually know were in the race, Dronehopper. Yeah, Ewan, we saw them in the early breakaways.
Are you forgetting about one of the most iconic duos of this Giro d'Italia, Mattia Baez and Filippo Taliani? Come on, Filippo Taliani, for all he invested into this Giro, his name was read out on commentary more than any rider from Israel Premier Tech for a reason. They won the Fuga Prize. Actually, they came first and second in the Fuga Prize, which is the breakaway award. It's kind of like the Giro's own combativity prize. Yeah, I mean, they were up in the breakaway a lot, nowhere near taking a stage. We saw Tess Fazione looking pretty decent at breakaways as well. He left the race early. He crashed. I was hoping more from Andriy Ponomar as well, the current Ukrainian champion. He is also still a child. So, I mean, maybe I was too optimistic about that one, but I don't know. They got what they wanted, which was the Fuga Prize.
So you would say satisfied?
I wouldn't say satisfied just because of that. It's a bit like B&B Hotels at last year's Tour de France. Fond Bonamour won the Combativity Prize, and that put them on the map, really, after being in the breakaway an awful lot in that race. I feel like Dronehopper is the B&B Hotels of this Giro.
I wouldn't say satisfied, though.
Pro Cycling Stats have put them as the bottom-ranked team in the whole Giro.
To be fair, I'm looking at the GC result right now, and Eduardo Sepúlveda came in the 70s. He's their best GC rider.
The thing is with this team, the only thing I can remember about this team in the Giro was when Tess Fazione did that horrible crash. And thankfully, it was okay. That's all I can remember from... these guys.
Taliani, Filippo Taliani, he was He was on camera. He was at the front of the race for so many kilometers. He won the intermediate sprint prize.
He's going to be adamant about that now, is he?
Room for improvement, or considering their budget as well.
Let's go. Okay. For that
one. Well, speaking of riders crashing out or leaving because of crashes, Astana, and of course they were hoping that their returning hero of Miguel Angel Lopez was once again going to finish on the podium of the Giro d'Italia. It didn't quite happen, but Vincenzo Nibali, he did come good and finished fourth overall, of course, in his final ever Giro d'Italia. So Astana, how do you guys think they should be ranked?
Satisfied, a high achiever. I'm not sure if Superman Lopez would get better than a fourth place. They didn't get a stage win, however. Nibali won the journalist's prize, the Bonacossa prize, but I think it's better than what they would have thought they were going to get in this Giro.
So high achievers.
I don't know. No. I do feel like that's too ambitious, though.
Yeah, I think that's too much. So we don't really have the category in between.
I think most people wouldn't expect Vincenzo Nibali to be getting fourth, because this is now his last year in the saddle. So, yeah, like with someone going like into retirement, you would expect them not to be doing that their best because they're that old now. But he really did ride a great Giro. Obviously, one of the protagonists, but wasn't probably going to win it because he's up against such great young talent now. So, yeah, I would say satisfied for what he was up against and all that. And, yeah.
I think we all agree on that point then. But next, coming to one of, well, if not the team of this year's Giro d'Italia, Intermarché Wanty-Groupe-Gobert. Of course, Binnie. Do we have to say more? Domenico Pozzovivo, the rider that didn't even have a team contract when the Giro route was announced, and managed to finish inside the top 10, then 39-year-old, and then, of course, Jan Hurt as well.
I think it's been a really good Giro. I would,
A legendary, can't even...
In terms of the other teams who have two riders in top 10, Bahrain and Bora, and Samashi as well did that feat. Pozzovivo is the oldest person to finish in the top 10 at a Giro since World War II, which I think shows just how strong that performance was. And if he didn't crash on the descent of the Mortirolo, I'm sure he could have really fought for a higher place. Jan Hirt got a breakaway stage win and a sixth place in GC. I mean, Binyam Grmaj as well, with the amount of top 10s they got throughout this race, fantastic Giro d'Italia for them. Ryan Tarma as well was in top 3 for a while in GC. I think it's a fantastic Giro d'Italia. They're showing real steps, but I'm intrigued to see what they're going to be doing at the Tour de France, which is going to be a very sort of different direction for them when they have Alexander Kristoff on the start line.
Jack, do you agree? Binnie.
I was going to probably say high achievers, but thinking about it, maybe they should be put down as legendary. Not because maybe the Binnie fans are twisting my arm about it, but they really did ride a great Giro as a team together with what they got GC-wise and with the stage wins they've got and the consistent top 10s. Yeah, legendary probably is a well-deserved place for this team this year.
Next, going for a team that probably isn't going to be remembered as a legendary team, Lotto Soudal, taking a victory, of course, not courtesy of Caleb Ewan. Two top threes, six top tens. Caleb Ewan didn't really achieve anything. Yeah, what do you guys think about this? Thomas de Gendt's stage victory, is that enough for them to be considered satisfied?
You would expect Caleb Ewan to probably get at least one stage win, but it wasn't really great what Giro for him, clearly, but... room for improvement. Were they even here?
I think that's a bit unfair when Thomas de Gendt won a stage.
Well, yeah, it's just I wouldn't expect Thomas de Gendt to probably win a stage. They probably would rely on Caleb Ewan to get them stage wins. But yeah, I suppose maybe room for improvement then.
So next we have Bahrain victorious, the winners of the team classification award, of course, Landissimo, not quite hitting the mark, but in third place, fifth place for Puel Bilbao, a stage win with Santiago Buitrago, and Ewan, we might as well go to you. Where do you think Bahrain victorious land on this year's Giro d'Italia? They were phenomenal last year and pretty well this year as well.
They also won the fair play contest as well for the team that respects the rules the most at the Giro. I'd say it's the legendary. It's a really good Giro from them. They can't be too disappointed with Landa's third place. They really showed that they are a great GC team. And onwards and upwards, it should be a very good Tour de France for them as well.
I agree. They're probably the most solid team out there in this sport. It's just a shame they can't seem to land a solid GC win in a Grand Tour, but that might change in a few years. Who knows?
I just feel like everything was in place for Landa this Giro. There was no big sort of, there was no crash or incident. Like, everything kind of worked out for Landa. And Bahrain worked well too for him. I think Lander here is the problem, not the team. So, I mean, Bahrain can't be too frustrated about how they've operated.
Well, moving from one team that can't be too frustrated about their GC to a team that definitely can be, Bike Exchange. Of course, they took 3-stage victories. They took all the time trial victories this year, courtesy of Mateo Sombrero on the final stage. And of course, Simon Yates, of all people, taking a time trial win. And of course, he also took a win on a road stage. But Team Bike Exchange were potentially hoping for a bit more courtesy of Simon Yates, considering that he finished third last year at the Giro. So, starting with you, Jack, do you think Bike Exchange, where do you think they should be here?
It's hard because, yeah, they might have won the time trial stages, but you have to understand, some people probably didn't realize that there wasn't that many top-level time trialists out there this Giro, only Tom Dumoulin and João Almeida. And yeah, Yates might be in them, but that's because he had that steep finish at ascend at the end. And the last stage, well, Almeida and Tom Dumoulin were out of the Giro after that, and there was no real big level time trialist to probably take on Sobrero. So I don't want to take away their stage wins, but you know, you've got to take that into consideration as well as that. But without babbling on, maybe I would say high achievers. They really did start well at the start of this Giro. They did I would not expect Yates to win that stage. I'd probably say high achievers. You know, they really did start legendary at start, and then they went down a little bit because Yates had that injury, which is a shame. But you know, maybe if they were still had Yates, it might have been legendary. Who knows where he could have come?
I mean, 3-stage wins though.
Yeah, nobody in our satisfied category has more wins than that.
Exactly. I'd say high achievers in that case.
Fair enough. Okay, moving on to the last team, Team DSM. And no, we haven't picked you last for any particular reason, so don't write any angry emails to us. But Romain Bardet, of course, was their poster boy. And unfortunately, I'm not quite sure what it even was. Was it a stomach problem he had?
Yeah, he had a stomach problem, which ruled him out of the Giro. On the stage into Cuneo, but they still won a stage with Alberto Dainese, which was kind of unexpected. And Timon Arensman was trying super hard to get a stage win throughout this Giro. He was, close to victory on a number of occasions. It was a solid Giro for DSM, satisfied. If Bardet were here, the what ifs and so forth. I think if Bardet were here, it would have made it a really, really exciting race.
Well, anyways, that's it for our tier list. So there's one thing left to say, and each of us are going to give our personal team of the Giro. Jack, we'll let you go first. Who is your team of the Giro?
Overall team of the Giro, without a doubt, Bahrain victorious. Solid team. They all work together like a team. The chemistry is just on top here. And of course, why not? Because they won the team classification. It's just pretty much proven that way, really, isn't it? They rode the best together. Not necessarily won the GC, but still they managed to get there up as the best team overall. So yeah, I would say it was them. And I look forward to seeing them, what they give in the Tour de France.
I'm going to say Bora Hansgrohe. They didn't really put a foot wrong with the team in this Giro. They took a stage win with Kemna earlier on. Then they took stage wins with Hindley as well. The overall in the bag, 4 riders actually in top 20, with 2 of whom were in the top 10. For a team we don't usually associate with general classification success, they've done very well at this Giro d'Italia. And I think we'll look back on this as being quite an important tactical reset in terms of how you win a Grand Tour.
Well, this is quite nice because I'm not going to be picking the same team as you guys. So I'm going to pick Intermarché Wanty-Groot-Gobert, of course. And do I need to say more than Binny, Binny, Binny? The rise of the Eritreans has absolutely been incredible to see. Of course, there's been plenty of Eritreans on the World Tour before, but yeah, seeing him take the victory, seeing Domenico Pozzovivo, of course, cling on to a 10th place as well, and Jan Hurt taking victory and also a top 10. I think that was absolutely incredible. So anyways, that's it for our tier list of the Giro d'Italia 2022, ranking where the teams were going to be. And of course, make sure to comment down below which team you think has been the best and the worst. Sorry, Israel Premier Tech. But that's basically it for today. Thank you to every single one of you for watching. Make sure to hit the like button and subscribe to the channel. And we will see you around.